Music and Booze with Mo is produced and distributed by Eats Drinks TV, a service of the Center for Culinary Culture, home of the Cocktail Collection, and First Reel Entertainment, and is available wherever fine podcasts can be heard. The Center for Culinary Culture, telling the story of food and drink, one taste at a time. Welcome to Music and Booze with Mo. I'm Mo Herms, and I've worked in the music industry most of my life, so have met some pretty amazing musicians over the years. I also love a good cocktail, and I've encountered some really interesting bartenders as well. It seems that there is a lot of crossover, so when I can, I like to talk to musicians and bartenders about music and booze. Join us at the bar, won't you? Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by Barkeeper, a head shop for cocktail lovers, located at 614 North Hoover Street in Silver Lake, Los Angeles. Stop by for barware, vintage glassware, a carefully curated collection of spirits, and one of the most impressive selections of bitters anywhere. Follow them on Instagram and Facebook for information regarding spirits tastings. That's barkeepersilverlake.com and also in the Virgil Village neighborhood of Silver Lake, Los Angeles. Welcome to Mo's Tropical Summer. As any regular listener knows, every summer I get to talk with people from all over the world, actually, who work or own bars with a bit of a tropical bent to them, and this summer is no exception. So sit back and relax, mix yourself a drink that has lots of fruit juices, rums, and maybe even an umbrella, and enjoy Tropical Summer. Recently, I got to go to my hometown of San Diego and have a seat in the very vibrant and popular brand new Mothership. It is a vegan tropical space bar. Yes, all of those things. It's a new bar that was created by the folks who own Kindred, which is a vegan death metal bar. And I love all of these things. I love Kindred very much. So I was very excited the first time I went to Mothership, fell deeply in love with its whole aesthetic. The drinks are fantastic. They're familiar yet not. They've got an amazing staff. And I got to talk with Alexis Romero of Mothership, who started in Tijuana, born and raised in Tijuana, eventually came across the border to start bartending in San Diego and show his skills there. Also, he makes music, and we're going to be featuring his music throughout this entire program, so enjoy.
There we go. Okay, we're good. That's it. This is the setup.
Hey, thanks.
Well, I was going to say, you're kind of a pro, because you do all the Instagram stuff.
My setup is also pretty simple.
It's easy, right?
Yeah. I try to simplify it as much as I can.
Right. So, okay, introduce yourself, where do you work, all that.
Well, my name is Alexis Romero. I go by Alex. I work at Mothership. I am also from Tijuana. Was born in Mexicali, raised in Tijuana, and now I bartend here in San Diego.
Yeah, but you actually are, I think if I remember right, you're pretty active on making the Tijuana scene something that people know about, right?
Yeah, I try to impulse it, put it out there, make it known.
Yeah.
I know the cocktail scene in Tijuana might not be as big as the one in San Diego, but I mean, there's a lot of good people and they're trying to catch up. And I think in the like the next few years they might make a
Well, Tijuana has been, I mean, I'm under the impression that a lot of Baja has felt the need to come out from underneath people being afraid to go there. Because people think, oh, again, my family's Colombian. I've been there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's definitely, like, the risk, you know, like, all the things that happen down there.
Things that happen, but it's like, but there's an amazing food and beverage scene there.
I mean, in Tijuana, we say, like, the best tacos are in the most dangerous neighborhoods. You know, like, if the neighborhood is really dangerous, you're for sure their tacos are gonna be good. That's like a thing that locals always say, you know? But honestly, like, I feel like Baja California has always lived in the shadow of San Diego, yeah. LA, you know? So it's like they're always trying to catch up. Like right now, Tijuana has a very big like craft beer scene. And it's because of that same reason where, like, everybody is trying to catch up to the beers in San Diego, Ballast Point, Stone. Like, they were very big inspiration into creating the craft cocktail, like, craft beer scene in Tijuana. And I think the cocktail world is catching up the same way.
Yeah, no, I mean, for years I've been hearing about great Tijuana bartenders that are coming to San Diego and, you know, doing their magic here and then being like, across the border, you'll be fine. Come across and have a drink.
Hey, like for me, like the reason I like tiki so much is like growing up in Mexico, like you go to the beach and everybody's drinking piña colada. So I would go to the beach and it's like, hey, a virgin piña colada for the kid, right? And it's like mentally it takes me back to that moment where I was a kid.
I always tell people that the reason I love tiki and tropical drinks so much is because I grew up in San Diego. I grew up in North County, which is way more surfy, you know, it's very beachy and everything, but it's the same kind of thing. It's that same idea of having the fruity drink, having the, like, the Hawaiian food, because that was around and everything, because there were surfers that kind of brought it around. It's that whole beach culture kind of thing.
And I mean, honestly, L.A., San Diego, and Tijuana have had a big influence onto what the tiki scene is right now.
Like, yeah. Absolutely, whether people want to admit it or not. And then, you know, like, so, well, when did you first start bartending?
Well, the thing is, like, my family, like, owned a seafood restaurant in Tijuana.
Oh, really?
That's called Mariscos El Socio. Back in the day, they were, like, really popular. Like, even artists, when they came down to TJ, like people would tell him, like, yeah, if you want to try seafood, like, you have to go to the Mariscos El Socio.
So and your that's, family's like, been the hospitality.
Like, not anymore. I would say, like, things have changed. There's very new restaurants. They stayed the same classic way. You know, they're like the little hole-in-the-wall thing now, but it's like, they're still, like,
still
doing
good.
Their thing. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But, like, back in the day, it was, like, popping. So I grew up in that, like, restaurant industry. Like, I was a kid, like, running around the restaurant, right? But I didn't decide to, like go full-on bartending till I was, till, like, I would say 2015. So it's, like, not really even 10 years. I would say, like, around 8 years
ago.
So
was that in Tijuana?
I started in Tijuana,
yeah. So what kind of bars were you first bartending at?
I started in Plaza del Zapato.
I mean, I haven't been to Tijuana in a really long time.
Plaza del Zapato is, like, a little mall. Like, well, not it's not little. It's actually pretty big. Back in the day, they used to sell shoes, so that's why we call it Plaza del Zapato.
Oh, my God, that's awesome.
But, you know, there was, like, back in the 80s, there was, like, a lot of killings and things in that mall, so they shut it down. And for some reason, the person that bought it, like, decided to make it into, like, a bar, like, thing, where instead of having, like, shoe stores, everything turned into bars.
So they're all bars?
They're all bars, yeah.
How many bars are in this space?
I mean, I cannot recall the exact number, but I would say, like, at least 10 to 15 bars.
Wow, that's kind of amazing.
Like, back in, like, 2015, that was, like, the mecca of, like...
bars?
No, more than bars, just, like, craft beer. Like,
okay.
Like every craft beer, like brewery had their tap room in there, yeah.
Oh my God, that's cool.
So it was like, you could just go to one tap room, like get a beer, and if your friends are in the other tap room, you could just walk over and like...
I was gonna say, it sounds like a food court, but for cocktails
I mean,
and beer.
Things did change, you know, like rules were implemented.
At least at that time.
So like they had their time, now it's like I would say it's Zona Centro, La Revolucion, that's like the area that's like going up a lot.
So it's still, well, when I was in high school, it was far too long ago, Revolucion was where we always went. But it was just like beer and shots, you know, nothing.
And now they're doing more like cocktail focused things, like really nice chefs from all over like Mexico. Like,
yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, Tijuana's growing pretty quick. And then I started bartending in San Diego because of Tiki Oasis.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's really? So what was the first place you attended bar in San Diego? San Diego then?
I started bar. I came over as a bar back.
Which is smart. I mean.
Yeah, I mean, because like
everything behind.
Honestly, the way that the U.S. and Mexico work their bars is way different.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, like.
So in, how?
In Mexico, you don't really see bar back. Like every bartender is their own bar back.
Okay.
You know, like that's the way it works down there. And here is like more systematic. Like, you know, the bar back has to do those things. Like, you don't really see that those things.
So. Do you have a preference now?
I mean, I really like a combination in between both. I think like the experience that I gathered in Tijuana really helped me here.
Absolutely. Because like, you can handle anything, I would think.
I mean, I worked in a bar where it was like 200 deep and we only had one well. And
oh
it was
God.
Literally like tickets will go like rolling in the floor and it was terrible.
And you just like bang, 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 bang.
But now it's like, how busy can it get here? When it's like the system works way better. So it's like, now I understand how to really work a bar to make it more efficient, right?
Yeah.
And also, the spirits are different. Like, there's a lot of things that you don't find in Mexico that you can get in the U.S. Because everybody sends their stuff to the U.S.
Yeah.
But not everybody sends their stuff to Mexico.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, you say the U.S., but that can go state by state, too.
That's true.
I mean, you've got other states where they're not allowed to get certain things in, or things have to be a lower volume or something like that. It's just wild.
I feel like...
It's wild to think that there are limitations like that all over, you know.
Also, Mexican culture, you know, like I grew up taking shots of tequila.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like everybody shots tequila all the time. So it's like the market down there is not that big for other things. So people are really focused on what they want.
Focused on the agaves,
like right.
Right
now, Mexicans are getting adventurous and like now they want to learn about cocktail culture. And like, you know, they're starting to know what like a good old fashioned is, a good Negroni. And it's a good thing, you know, like especially in Tijuana, which was a... very beer, like beer focused.
Yeah.
Place.
Yeah.
But.
Well, again, San Diego. There's that whole just, and it gets warm. You want your beer and a taco, you're good.
And then,
wow, just the idea of doing everything by yourself, like, I'm like, oh my God, that sounds awful. But that's because I go to cities, right? I'm going to, but if I were to go to a small town, like in Arizona or something, I'm sure it's just one person in that bar taking care of everything for themselves. Here in Tijuana, I mean,
that also happens here in San Diego. Like, that doesn't mean that every single bar is perfect.
But you just happen to be at, we're talking here about Mothership, which is quite a bar.
I'm lucky to be able to work in really good bars.
Yeah.
You know, like, and honestly, it's been because of hard work. Like, honestly, doing that jump between Tijuana and San Diego wasn't that easy.
Was nice?
Yeah, like, doing, well, like, the change of pace, you know, like, from, like, bartending fully in Spanish to, like, bartending fully in English, and then, like, you know, the crowd is way different, like, adapting. But
So tell me, again, like, the first place you were bartending was the place in the...
In Hillcrest. It's called Cache.
Okay, it was Cache.
Oh, no, in Tijuana?
In Tijuana, it was in the Plaza,
Plaza Zapato. But, like, the first craft cocktail place that I worked, it was called Cine Tonalá.
Okay, so how did you... So you... And that was still in Tijuana.
That close, sadly.
No, but it was... But I just
but it was in Revolución. It was
in Revolución.
It was a three-story building. It was an independent movie theater with a restaurant rooftop with a full, like, craft cocktail bar. And then they had a full bar also in the first floor. So when you were waiting to go see a movie or a stand-up comedy show, like you were like waiting at the bar, having a beer
just
or a cocktail.
Regular drink, yeah.
It was like popping when it opened. Like,
and then when you went up to the roof, it was where you got the fancier drinks?
And that was my first exposure to like craft cocktails.
Wow.
And it was like a place really trendy in town.
Yeah, so how was that for you? I mean, that was that really, you knew there were craft cocktails out there, obviously, but you didn't get to work in it.
It was fun because like, you know, moving from like a dive bar scene from Tijuana where it's like only serving beer technically and then moving to like actually making cocktails and having that restaurant background where I already understand what is making
that's
a dish
true.
And cooking
that's
I was
super
like
important.
Like I liked it better because like I saw the connection in between like making the drink and actually being in the kitchen and cooking like there was like a similarity and I love that like and that's when I decided like I really want to focus on doing
on
this
side of it. Yeah, I think of drinks like this as treats, you know. I mean, when I try to explain to people, well, to me it's like a good meal, it's like a good dish, it's like a dessert, you know, something like that, because there's a thought that's gone into the drink.
It's like art.
Yeah, yeah,
you know?
Totally.
And that's the way that I compare it to music, where it's not like, you know, like making a cocktail is kind of like playing a song.
Yeah, actually, that just reminded me that you make music too.
Yeah.
You make lots of music. So when did you start playing music?
Well, I started playing
music. Was it always in your house?
I mean, my not really directly, but I have family that were musicians that I didn't really ever met. But like my grandma would always say like, oh, you just grew up with that talent because of your like uncle, well, your great uncle, whatever, right? And I'm like, okay, but I mean.
So they told you it was in your genes.
In my blood, pretty
much. It was in your blood, in your blood. So what do you play?
I like playing every instrument really, but my focus always being like piano and a little bit of like guitar, bass. I love playing the bass. You know, just like,
I feel like you told me you had some beats or something, so I'm like, okay.
I have some music in SoundCloud, nothing like too serious. It's more like I do it as a hobby.
So,
you know?
So all of your music has just been as a hobby?
At this point, yes, but I tried to take it serious when I was a teenager, mainly. Yeah.
Did you want to be in a band, or were you in bands?
Me and my friends were really into like death metal, hardcore music. So we were like very big in like the Tijuana like hardcore scene, and we would make shows and like contact bands from the US that we wanted to see live, and like it'd be like, hey, you want to come down to Tijuana? Like, how much do you want to get paid? Like, we brought a lot of good bands like Point FX in that time, Attila, who else? Rose Funeral, like a bunch of like really like nice.
Wow.
Like that core band.
And you just reach out to them. You're like, we want you here.
Yeah, through MySpace back in that day.
Yeah.
And it's like through MySpace, we just made it happen. You know.
That's amazing.
And so maybe we didn't make that much money because we literally never made money out of it. But it was more about like being able to bring some of our favorite bands into town and like hanging out with our friends.
Did you play when those bands came?
My best friend at the time, his older brother, he used to play in a deathcore band that it was called Billy Brown. It was very popular in Tijuana back then.
Brown?
Yeah, even if you look for them online right now, you can find their songs.
Wow.
And it's like deathcore, pretty cool. Like, they became like very underground, like popular for a minute back in the like early 2000s. And I used to play in a few like deathcore metal like bands, but like nothing really came up out of that. I was more focused on like the part of bringing bands into town and like organizing shows, making flyers.
Where did you put these shows on? Was there a venue that you were able to work with?
There were a few venues that
you could like talk them into, like, let me do this show here.
There was like an event salon where like you know, they would do like for parties.
I was gonna say, you just rent a space for parties.
We rent a space, rent the sound system, and bring the band, and we'll make it happen.
Awesome. That is so cool.
And I was like 15 years old back then. And then when I went into college,
so cool. No, I mean, especially being that young and doing something like that. I mean, when I was a kid and punk bands would come to San Diego, we'd have to play like at the YMCA, you know?
Yeah, totally.
You're all teenagers. It's kind of similar, but I think about it, I'm like, why did the YMCA let that band play there? You know, why they let Circle Jerks play there or something like that?
There was like a cultural space in like the government building, like where like you go to do all your like paperwork or whatever.
Yeah.
And they had like a cultural space with sound system, and it was free to make like shows in there.
Really? So
but it was hard to like schedule one. But if you got a space, it was like, you don't have to pay for anything.
We have a death metal show on this day in this space.
But they would like keep a big percentage of the like income, right? But I mean.
But you were saying for you, it was more about getting to see the bands.
Like, we never did it for money.
That's so cool.
And then when I went to college, I went to City College and I started a major for digital music technology, which I like almost finished. I didn't like really finish it all because I needed to pay bills, and it's like that's like around the same time that I started bartending too, like, you know, like, and I was like, you know what, like, I love music, but I also love bartending, so it was like bartending is paying the bills right now, so I'm gonna focus on that.
Yeah.
Not really like making a band or making music for that. Like right now, as a content creator, like I want to make like beats for my own videos. Like
so you're making your own music library essentially.
Like I have like some sometimes I, right now with Instagram and how it works, where you can technically put any song you want, like I kind of been slacking a little bit on that side. But honestly, that's my goal. Like every video to have my own music behind it. So I don't have to pay anybody for my music.
What is the music like that you're making now?
I mean, I've gone through phases. Like, if you go through my SoundCloud, like, everything is, like, very, like, random. Like, I have from, like, blues, improvisations, I have techno, I have, like metalcore, I have blues, I have, I don't know.
Just depends on how you woke up that day.
Trap music, hard trap, like...
Well, what made you start playing music? What was, like, a band you remember? I don't like to say inspiration, because it's not always that. I feel like it's
more than a band, it was my grandpa. Because, like,
your
when
grandpa?
Because when I was, he was, like, a beer, he's
your
my father figure.
Your grandpa was into deathcore?
Not really. But when I was in five, when I was 5 years, he, like, gifted me a guitar.
Aww.
You know, and it's, like, he was, like, my favorite person in the world. He already passed away, sadly. And I mean, I miss him so much, but like he was like my inspiration into like...
To play music.
Exactly. So it's like every time I see something with music, it's like I cannot avoid making that connection. You know, like it brings me back to my grandpa.
Well, you're keeping him alive that way.
Exactly.
You know? That's amazing.
And it's like if I'm a good musician, I feel like at the end of the day, I'm like making him proud.
Ah, that's...
And also he was like a very big, big drinker. Like he was like always with things like... Like a tequila shot would kill, like, cure anything, right? And it's like, as a bartender, I also feel like I make him proud that way. And they're like, so.
I'm sure. Well, and plus your family's already into hospitality, so I think you're doing the, crafting these beautiful cocktails for people, making them happy, making art in this way as well.
It just like, it just made sense for me.
So you said that the first bar you were working at in San Diego was the one in Hillcrest?
Yeah, Cache. It used to be a speakeasy right in between.
I remember the name of that. That was like in the mid to like 2015, 2017 or something like that?
It was right in between Riches and Flicks.
Okay.
And it was behind a restaurant called Bobo.
Yes.
And there was like a little taco shop next door called Libertad. So you'd like walked in and like go through the like fridge door.
And get there.
And it was like...
And this was like in 2015 or something?
Yeah, that was like... I started there in 2017.
17? Okay.
Which was my first job here in San Diego.
So when you got there, you're like, I've been making craft cocktails. Let me show you what I can do.
I was excited. I mean, back then, like I said, like I went to Tiki Oasis to do a competition before I got hired there. And then it's like, I'm a U.S. citizen.
But you were representing for Tijuana.
Yeah, exactly. But I was always working in TJ. And then some people were like, hey, if you're a U.S. citizen, why are you doing working in TJ? Why, you should come over to San Diego and you're going to learn way more, you know? And, you know, like, I was really inexperienced there. So I thought I knew more than I really did. And it was like that jump from Tijuana to San Diego was something that I needed for me to be like...
Next level.
No, like, I was like, I don't really know anything. You know, like, all this whole time I thought I knew a lot. Now I'm like, I really don't know anything. So it was like starting from zero. It was like,
did it really feel that zero?
Like I said, like, there's not many spirits in Mexico. So it's like coming over here and seeing like... the back bar and not recognizing a single bottle of whiskey and being like, what is all this? So it's like, for me, it was like ground zero again.
Well, what's interesting too is that you're working now, you have a fondness for the tropical cocktails, which is mostly rum based, right?
Yeah, I'm a big rum drinker.
You are a big rum drinker. Rum is an insane category. I mean, I think so is gin, but whiskey I feel like you can get a handle on, right? Agaves you can get a handle on.
I think it's very like... underrated. What it is, yeah, because like rum is really diverse.
Well, okay, let me ask you this, and this is speaking as someone with family in South America, you're central down there, nobody cared about rum. They might drink some whiskey. There's an aguardiente in Colombia, it's nothing but aguardiente, so they do the sugar cane, but not like
in a different
rum.
Way.
And like tequila was not. I mean, I remember 2009, I was there, and my cousin had to look all over to find a bottle of tequila, and I think we got Malagro or something, because all she could find, and like her boss found it for her. She's like a district attorney in the city of Cali. Nobody could find any tequila anywhere down there. I'm like, how? But rum was not something that they drank. They drank beer, and they had shots of like aguardiente, right? It wasn't really rum. So it's kind of like, I almost feel like it's regional. Like, okay, this area, like cachaça all over Brazil, but not
like for me as a bartender that bartended in Tijuana, mm-hmm. one thing that I noticed down there a lot is that rum and coke was really popular.
Well, yeah.
You know, like, everybody drinks a
That's
lot of
easy. Rum. No one's thinking about the rum.
Exactly. But they're always drinking, like, Bacardi White.
Right.
Like, that's, like, everybody's to go.
I'm sure that's true.
But that's also what makes people misunderstand and appreciate
totally.
Rum, because every time they think rum,
they
go to
school.
Bacardi White. And, like,
right.
And I always try to explain people, like, hey, there's
so
more
rum.
Than just Bacardi White. Like, there's rum agricole, like, Jamaican funky rum, you know, like,
yeah.
Overproof, like, you name it. Like, there's so many varieties of rum, which people misunderstand.
Yeah, absolutely. So when you were at Cachet, you were just like, okay, this is a whole new scene now. How do you think you obviously, I'm sure, picked it up really quick, though.
I mean, I think I did good. I was barbacking for like 6 months, and then I started bartending.
Yeah.
And when I got hired, they told me like, hey, we're gonna guarantee you're gonna become a bartender right away. Like,
yeah.
It could be 2 months, it could be 2 years. Like we're not gonna guarantee you when
yeah.
you're gonna become a bartender. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, I'm already here. I wanna do it, right? And I mean, I became a bartender, and at the end I became the bar lead.
That's not bad.
So, but I mean, that it was just that passion, like, pushing me, and like, I had like certain obstacles, like having to cross the border every
yeah,
day,
and that is
because
not
I was living
easy.
In Tijuana, and like crossing the border every day to be here in San Diego, and Martin, and then having to go back, and not having a car too. Like, I was walking, like, using the trolley, the bus, like, it was hard. Like, and like,
you know,
something,
honestly, I almost feel like if you were walking through the trolley, that probably was quicker than if you had driven, though.
I mean,
how long do you get stuck in traffic trying to cross into San Diego?
I mean, I've done I've driven across the border for a few years too. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, right now that I live in San Diego, I'm so happy. But like, when I was living in TJ, it was pretty hard.
I'm sure.
Because like, I had no time for anything. Like,
yeah.
Literally, my life was like,
was just
work.
Work or driving.
And commuting.
Yeah.
Yeah,
work
and commuting. Like, there was nothing in between.
So when did you discover your love of tiki? When did you realize that was a thing?
I feel like the thing, I think it was in my first Tiki Oasis.
Yeah. Like, what made you decide to compete for Tiki Oasis?
Well, I have a really good friend. Like, he's like a bar consultant in Tijuana. And his name is Irving Gonzalez.
Okay.
And he also works here in San Diego for Snake Oil. He's like
okay.
one of the like mixologists in charge.
Yeah.
And well, he was the one that like found me in San Diego because he was doing an event in Tina Tonala back then.
Okay.
So the first time that I started, there was gonna be a Tiki Oasis event, and because he like in between a conversation we were having, like he like saw that I was a U.S. citizen, so he was like, hey, you should come over, like you should try it, like. And he's like a really good friend of Ram. So he was like, oh, you know what? Like, let's get him in. And everybody was really excited to have me there. Like, the
yeah.
culture, like, trying all the cocktails, like, different rums that I wasn't exposed to in Tijuana. I was like, I thought I brought a really good cocktail, and then I see everybody's else's, and I'm like, like, okay, I'm, like, a lot of steps behind, you know? But I want
to
catch
up. So then you were like, oh, so I have to learn about this whole genre.
And it was, like, that was the focus that brought me to San Diego in the first place. Like, tiki, at the
really?
End of the day. Yeah.
Really? That's kind of, well, I mean, I guess, again, since you come from kind of a culinary background, too,
yeah,
it would make sense.
But I didn't really ever work in a
no,
tiki bar.
No, you didn't work in the kitchen, but you saw it. I mean, so you have an appreciation for, like, what could be complex or what could be simple, whichever, you know? So then, since you did that, you didn't get there on this one, but you are now working in a
bar. Tiki bar, yeah.
Is this a tiki bar? It's a tropical, it's a...
I mean,
in space bar.
The way we describe it is a tropical space adventure
yeah.
bar, because we're tiki inspired, but
yeah,
we're
oh,
taking
absolutely.
All of the cultural appropriation out of tiki,
exactly,
but making
yeah.
it as fun.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I'm hearing
maybe
the music
even
right
more
now.
Fun. You
yeah.
Know,
like, oh, I love it. I love it.
You know,
I love this.
So
process.
It's like we're
it's
taking
like,
it away.
It's like sci-fi and, tropical. You know.
So in a way, we're reinventing tiki. Here,
yeah, totally.
You know?
So, but is this the first time you've had the opportunity to work? Completely in a tropical?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is the first time that I'm exposed to like actually being able to work on
that's
something
crazy.
That I've always wanted to, you know. And
oh,
like,
that's so cool.
Like
so
Mothership
just,
giving me the opportunity to be there was like.
So you're just tiptoeing
amazing.
Up to it before that. So what do you remember like did you have you created well obviously you have because you competed in tiki.
Yeah, totally.
So do you remember like what your first tiki cocktail was that you came up with?
I kind of remember my first Tiki Oasis cocktail. I know it was hibiscus, cinnamon, like a little bit of grapefruit and overproof rum, which for me was like Like, I thought I was, like, reinventing the wheel because I never had overproof before that. So it was, for me, was like, oh, so this is something really unique. And then I go to TQ Oasis and it's like, oh, it's the same thing.
Oh, this is just okay. Which, honestly, it sounds delicious to me. But, yeah,
I know it was delicious. I mean, everybody said it was really tasty. But, like in a cocktail competition, it's not just
there has to be that thing.
Because, like my philosophy in cocktails is, like, everybody can make a delicious cocktail. But, like adhering to a concept, that's a way different story, right? Like for example, here, like, we reinvented Tiki. Like, David Kinsey, Juan, like, they created this awesome, like, bar menu. And honestly, like, they stayed on, like, on track. They respected Tiki cocktails, but they made them into an intergalactic thing, you know? Like, to the point that we can call it a space. Tropical adventure bar instead of, like, adhering to Tiki, which I love.
Like, give it its own identity. I mean, well, this was kind of the brainchild of Kindred and their permanent vacation menu.
Totally.
Like, and I love the idea of permanent vacation because, again, it's definitely builds its own thing. But, you know, tropical cocktails have a good space there. It's like, what do you drink on vacation? Tropical cocktails. Here you go. You know, totally works.
It's like same concept, but put, like, reinvented.
Yeah.
Like,
wrap it up in something else. So you are still competing, right?
Yeah, I'm going to do Tiki Oasis again.
You're going to do it again this year? But you also are really active on Instagram.
Totally. I mean, my Instagram is Third Magic.
Third Magic, yeah.
I'm trying to start doing, like, a little bit of tutorials on how to do cocktails and, like, give a little bit of exposure. Like, right now I'm starting in English, but, I also want to focus on doing some videos in Spanish.
Yeah.
But, like, I want to, like, focus on my exposure. And right now, like, my biggest exposure is with, like, the English-speaking crowd.
Yeah.
So I want to, like, get a little bit more exposure in that side and then, like bleeding to, like, Spanish-speaking people. You know, like, I think, like, you know how, like, social media works. Like, you have to work it a little bit. So.
Well, it sounds like, too, you really are hoping to bring more recognition to the scene in Tijuana.
More than recognition is, like, you know, like, Tijuana was the town that gave me the opportunity to start bartending and to, like, find this passion that I have.
Yeah.
So it's like, I feel like I owe them that, where it's like, hey, I came to San Diego and not everybody that I work with has the opportunity to do the same thing. So like, I love the opportunity to bring back that knowledge.
That's awesome. I think it's really important to be able to do that. And as we were saying, Tiki is one of those categories that it's been around for 100 years.
Totally.
You know, as a cocktail and as a, you know, a environments, you know, kind of an escapist environment and everything, but I think it is important for it.
Well, I feel like Tiki was, like, the first time that, like, people are actually started focusing on a concept more than just being a regular bar. Because, like, yeah, I mean, there were cocktail bars before that, but they were just that, cocktail bars. And Tiki was, like, the inspiration to, like, hey, we can make a cocktail bar into something else.
Yeah, and the cocktails as well.
Of course. Like, you know? like not adhering to, like, the, like, normal rules. Like, hey, let's break the rules a little bit and reinvent cocktails.
Yeah, totally. You know, it's like, where do you take your inspiration from? And with so many rums out there, each rum can provide a different inspiration to you. So what, in your rum explorations, you've got to be an agricole guy. I figure you must love agricole.
Yeah, I do like agricole. But honestly, I love cachaça more.
Do you really?
Yeah.
How come?
I mean, there's too many cachaças out there.
There are too many
cachaças. But I feel like there's, like, a lot of similarities in between cachaça and, like, rum agricole and even charanda. You know, like, for me, like, they're kind of, like, not exactly the same, but, like, I would put them in the same category. You know, and
so, do you have any drinks on the menu here at Mothership?
No. This is, like, fully David, Kinsey, and Juan's. Like,
they came up with this one, set it down.
I'm here just, like, holding down the place with them, like, giving them a helping hand.
Yeah.
I'm the one honored to be here helping them.
So I knew that those guys run a tight ship, space or otherwise, you know, like, with the cocktails and everything. But I was wondering where you get the opportunity to kind of stretch your muscles.
I feel like right now, like, my creativity, I'm been exploiting it more, like in social media and, like, also, like Tiki Oasis, you know, like here is, like, we're focused on our, like, little, like, menu, which, like, we haven't been open for more than a year yet.
I was going to say, I mean, this place opened, what, at the end of last year in September or August or something?
So, like, the main idea is to let everybody have the opportunity to come in and, like, try our menu, like, because, like, we still have a lot of, like, new crew. Like, most of our people here, they're like, hey, it's our first time. You know, and, like, we have our regulars still, you know, obviously, but, like I would say, like, half and half, like, there's a lot of, like, brand new people for, like, being open for 10 months and just being, like, and still having new people every single day, like, for me, that's impressive.
Well, this place, since it opened, has been, like, insanely popular.
And then we opened right by, like, Tiki Oasis, too.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. It was right around Tiki Oasis.
It was right in the same week.
People were coming here, like, that week.
And everybody was talking about Mothership at Tiki Oasis, too.
They sure were. I was jealous because I didn't come last year. And I was just like, I'm all, oh, man, this is my hometown. So I'm all, I can't believe everyone gets to go there before me. Yeah, I want to get in there.
Yeah, the whole team at Mothership, everybody's, like, excited for Tiki Oasis because, like, we're just, like,
no,
we don't even know how it's going to be or how crazy it's going to get this year.
Well, you guys take reservations, so that kind of keeps things a little bit at bay.
A little bit, but, like, it's still, we might be a little bit chiller for, like, you know, like, that season, because we know it's going to be busy and we want as much people to be able to, like, experience it.
Yeah.
So,
are you already planning your Tiki Oasis competition drink?
I already know what I'm doing.
Okay.
Like, I already, like, did some tests at home, and I
So, if people want to follow along, they should just find you on Instagram, because that's probably the best place to
totally.
Catch up.
My Instagram is stirredmagic.
Mm-hmm. And do you have a website and stuff as well?
Not really. I don't really. I've just been focusing on my Instagram alone. Like I have a TikTok too, but my focus has been just I want to start a YouTube channel in the future.
Someday. Once you have the whole music library to go with it.
Exactly.
So should people be finding you on SoundCloud as well? Just to kind of get an idea of what you do. What's your SoundCloud?
My SoundCloud is Shinigami with an S.
Oh my God, you have to spell that.
That's going to be a complicated one.
Yeah, totally.
It's S-H-I-
And you can send it to me later and I'll put it in the notes.
Well, I'll send it to you if you can do it. Totally. I'll send you the link and you can share it for people that want to check it out. And hey, obviously, like, everybody should come in to Mothership, like, check it out. It's an amazing place.
Oh my God. I love
like,
this place.
If
so
you like
much.
Like tropical cocktails, like, this is the place, honestly.
And you're so enthused about it. I love that you're so excited to be doing this and everything. Like,
I love it. I love every single day that I'm here.
The industry hasn't destroyed you yet. I'm just kidding.
I mean, not really.
Most people love it.
I mean, for.
I think it's in your blood.
We listen to the same playlist every day, and I still love it, so that's a good thing.
Well, okay, you know, something that you may or may not have heard by now is that Throbbing Gristle, which is this noise band from late 70s, early 80s, whenever they would play live shows, they would always, the music playing beforehand was always Exotica. So there's been this link.
I mean, there's always been this ritual in musicians where it's hey, we're going to play tonight, so we're not going to listen to what we play or anything similar.
But there's something about, I think it's the kind of Exotica jam
like
stuff.
Just to relax and
But there's something about the style of it that really appeals to a lot of metal folks as well. And I'm not sure what. I myself am I don't know that. Sometimes I think I can hear it. Sometimes I don't hear it at all. But it's not uncommon. So I think maybe that was also in you to love.
Hey, the playlist at Mothership is amazing, especially for Exotica lovers.
I want to ask you something. Let's say 10 or 15 years from now, do you ever see yourself owning a bar, or do you want to maybe back in Tijuana or something?
I definitely want to own a bar, but my family already own a business in Tijuana, so I want to be the first generation to actually open my bar here in San Diego. I mean, it's not easy, probably.
No, it's not easy at all, but I think it's a wonderful thing to have in your mind, shoot for. And considering that history you had, would you do it here or would you do it there? Bring these skills back and show people, here's what we've been missing. But doing that here, I get that too, to be look, I conquered San Diego,
I mean, in a way, for me, it would be
maybe that word's a little strong, but you know what I mean.
I'm not trying to conquer, but I'm
anything.
Just trying to
doing good.
Be able to share what I love to people, right?
Because
if I serve a cocktail to someone, it's I'm always serving something that I would drink myself.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Well, I think that probably covers everything. I really appreciate it. So
of course.
Go to the Instagram to watch you do your thing.
Yeah,
but come to Mothership to drink it.
Hey, we're open 7 days a week, so.
Oh my God. That makes me tired. Just
Monday through Friday, we're open from 4:30 to midnight, and Saturday, Sunday from 2:30 to midnight.
Perfect. People can find it online. They can make reservations online.
They can make reservations. Yeah. Just go
and
to the webpage.
There's not really food here, right? There's vegan food, but it's only
everything is fully vegan.
Cocktails,
food, nothing that's not vegan touches this area.
Did you work at Kindred too, or did you?
No, but Kindred was one of my favorite bars.
It's absolutely one of my favorite bars. I mean, I told Corey it is my favorite bar in San Diego. No offense to Mothership, it's great too, but Kindred just has such a vibe. It's so perfectly evil and delicious.
It's lovely.
Yeah.
I love it. And all, everybody down there, too.
Yeah, oh, no, everybody's great. Thank you, Alex, so much for talking to me. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
We are good.
A big thank you to Alex for being on the show today. There's a lot to know about him, and I can help you with that. On Instagram, follow him at stirredmagic. One word, stirredmagic. And you can see some of his exploits at Mothership. If you want to follow Mothership on Instagram, it's at intothevoid. But back to Alex. He's got tutorials and informational stuff. It's really, really good creator Instagram channel for any booze enthusiasts that are out there. Also, he makes music, so if you want to follow him as a creator in that capacity, go over to SoundCloud. It's Shinigami619, S-H-I-N-I-G-A-M-I, Shinigami619. And you can listen to his music, which we've been listening to behind everything during the course of this show today. He also did a playlist for us, so don't forget to go to Mo Herm's Spotify and find his playlist with all kinds of cool music there. Thank you so much, Alex, for being a part of the show. And if any of you listeners ever get to San Diego, then you absolutely have to stop by Mothership. They're all fabulous, but you really want to see Alex too. Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by The Mermaid, a cozy neighborhood bar with an aquatic flair in the Little Tokyo area of downtown LA. Open 7 days a week, featuring tropical cocktails and snacks, The Mermaid also has a daily happy hour from 5 to 8 p.m. Follow The Mermaid on Instagram at TheMermaidLA to hear about upcoming events and check them out at TheMermaidLA.com. Head to 428 East 2nd Street, Los Angeles, for a drink. Thank you for tuning in to our barroom chats on Music and Booze with Mo. For more info about today's guest, or if you want to connect with me, check out my Facebook page, Mo Herms. Please subscribe to the podcast and feel free to tell all your friends about it. While you're there, give the show a rating and a review. It really helps to get the word out. If you want to hear the playlists our guests have curated, search She Be Mo on Spotify, S-H-E-B-M-O. Find pictures of the interviewees and the cool stuff they create on the Music and Booze with Mo Instagram account. Lower your expectations and join us at the bar. Till next time, cheers.